Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, y'all, hey, what's up? And welcome to Let's Red Table That. I'm Tracy T. Rowe.
And I'm Cara Presley. Whew, what an episode. Listen, legendary. How are you feeling about Fat Joe and his interview on Red Table Talk, Tracy?
I feel like I could have listened to another hour of Fat Joe. Fat Joe, let me just tell you, a storytelling king, Fat Joe. When I say I was all in, he gave us like visualizations of things.
The details.
It was
right?
Just so rich. And not just the storytelling, but what he shared. It was just good.
All of it.
He's a legend, first of all. Can we just say that? Fat Joe is a hip hop dang on legend. We're tipping our hat to you and giving you your flowers while you're here. And we appreciate you. Kyra, we have lost some people in the hip-hop world.
We have. Rest in peace, Takeoff. You know, that is new.
Pop Smoke.
Nipsey. I mean, it's hard. So that's why it's bittersweet to see him at the table, because I'm glad he's still a living legend in here.
Right.
But on top of it, we just have so many that we lost at the same time.
So we want to just say, from our virtual red table to the family, friends, and fans of all those who have been lost in the hip-hop world, our sincere sympathy to you, because we know that they mean a lot to us as artists, but we know they mean so much more to you as your family members and your friends. And so
that part,
we just want to acknowledge that. And I think Fat Joe got an opportunity to say that when it came to Big Pun and with Notorious B.I.G.
He definitely indicated how much of an impact they had on their lives and how he still is trending up the next generation. I mean, him discovering DJ Khaled was something I didn't know. Listen, he talked about so many things we didn't know.
Right.
Let's talk about some others.
Right.
The DJ Khaled was a little mind-blowing for me. Maybe that just shows how much I don't pay attention to hip-hop like I thought I did. But
oh, you didn't know.
I like that. I didn't know. Did not know. Had no clue.
So one of the things that I loved about his conversation, first of all, back in the day, when you saw Big Pun, you saw Fat Joe, right? It was
this
like
Terror Squad.
It was a twofer, right? The Terror Squad, they were just... they were dominating back in the day.
And Remy Ma, I loved her too.
Remy Ma, come on here. Yes. Please, thank you for acknowledging, you know, the queen. We got to talk about Remy Ma.
Yes, yes.
I just appreciate the fact that he was like, I discovered DJ Khaled and he's like a brother to me and I'm so happy for him. And then he was like, but now DJ Khaled is doing, he's got way greater success, right? And I was so tickled.
I was your favorite God.
Right. Wait a minute. Hold on. I thought, like, let's have a conversation here. And I love that he took it
right
beyond him having a spiritual connection, right? And literally went to DJ Khaled and was like, dude, I just had a conversation with God. And I love that he
said, God is the greatest.
Right, right.
God is the greatest. God is the greatest.
God is the greatest. And
I love it, DJ Khaled.
Come on, DJ Khaled. But really, the anchor that they both have in their spirituality.
Right.
Because if you look at Fat Joe, for everything that he's gone through. He didn't plan any of that. It was all divinely ordered.
It's so much stuff. It was a shot in front of his mom, left home at 14. Yeah. I mean, just smashing a bottle over somebody's head.
Going to prison and how they put him in solitary confinement.
That part.
To keep him safe. And he was like,
but
hold
also
up.
How he turned to the arts. Right. He turned to the graffiti. He turned to the music. And he's still an authentic person, even from the way he loves his wife to the way he defended Ashanti. I mean, so many things.
Okay, so now we got to talk about both of those cars. So let's take it in the order you said it.
Yes.
First of all, his wife is gorgeous.
Yes.
But there was one particular moment when he started talking, and it was truly like being at someone's holiday table. The yes. red table turned into like the cookout table where he was talking, yes. and Willow was like, oh my God.
I don't want to hear it.
Willow was
like,
la, 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 right? Like she had the right. cringe, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hear adults talking about other adults and their body right. parts. And he was like, can I just be honest here? And I love he shook Willow's arm and her shoulder. He was like, it was her ass. It was a fat ass. And she was just like, oh,
do I want to hear this?
I love
Willow
that.
Willow stands her ground, but baby, she was not
she
ready for that.
Crumbled like it was Uncle Fat Joe. Like it was Uncle Joey at the table. And she was like, I do that not want to hear this. I absolutely loved seeing Willow in that position.
Bless
it was
heart.
Sweet to see like they were family. Right. And like she was right. a kid, even though I know she's an mm-hmm. adult, it was sweet. And then I'm going right. to tell you, the way he stood up for Ashanti.
Oh, yeah. Necessary. But even him telling the story about how he stood up for his wife first,
yes.
he has an authentic connection with women.
Right.
And he said it, though. He yeah. said that we are powerful. Yeah. He loves us. Yeah. Shout out to you, Fat Joe.
Yeah. We love
standing
you
standing up for your wife against her ex and standing up for Ashanti in the middle of the interview controversy. Mm-hmm. Even when he said how Irv Gotti's face changed when he was telling him, this is my sister. But it's so many people out here who lie and they be fairy telling us. Y'all heard
come
that
on here now, your made up word.
Y'all be lying to us and people just don't believe. Oh, there are some people who actually still respect women.
Right.
Yes, they do.
And he meant it. Like that's his sister.
Yes.
And he loves her and protected her. And I'm grateful right. that he stood up and spoke the truth about that and called Irv Gotti out. But it was about Ashanti. And can you imagine how seen, affirmed, and loved Ashanti felt in that moment?
That part. Listen, somebody said Ashanti might be at the table soon.
Come on here, because we can't wait. We can't wait.
We're going to have to see. I cannot wait. Love her. No, this was a great episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm grateful he came to the table. And I'm going to tell you something else. It was nice to have someone who still had trauma, who still mm-hmm. went through heartache.
Yes.
But the way that he shares it, there was still
that
so
part.
Much light. In it.
Yes.
And I think for
yes.
this season, it was necessary to be able to have a moment where we could breathe, see? Right.
Finally,
and just
a
be
good,
able to
positive episode. Yeah. Not that the others aren't positive and informative, but this was a nice, lighthearted episode. I'm excited about his memoir,
yes.
and I'm excited about just what's next. Now it's time to share what our online Red Table Talk community has to say about this episode. Amy Perry said, so amazing. I love to hear his stories and his way of telling us is so captivating. I said he was a storyteller. And I'd seal the table and save it. Don't ever touch that table again. I added
I
that last part in. I love that. I agree
yeah.
with you, Amy.
I do too, Amy. I'm with you. And we are happy to also hear from Leslie Shade. Leslie said, this was really an amazing interview. I'm so glad Fat Joe decided to let his hair down and allow fans and everyone to see the man he has become. Appreciate these RTTs. Great interview.
Oh,
it really was
that.
A great interview.
Yes.
I wish
yes.
they had done a part two with him. He was
you
fantastic.
Know, he could come on back. I love it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, Tiffany Spencer Gertz said, I met Fat Joe about 15 years ago at a teeny hole in the wall Italian restaurant in Little Italy in New York City. He was with his crew but was super cool and took a picture with me. Seemed like a humble guy. You know, I love a good story. I love a good behind the scenes.
I totally see him
right,
being like,
same.
Yeah, come on, get in this picture. Come
right.
on. You know, I totally see him doing that.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, you can feel his genuine humbleness.
Yes.
From him being at the table and just
absolutely.
The way how he loves women in his life and you know how he talked about his daughter and his
yes.
wife and his mom. I mean, he's just, I really like Fat Joe.
Same.
Thank you guys for sharing your fantastic comments for us on the Red Table Talk community. Keep them coming. We love hearing from you. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll be joined by our incredible guest.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
I'm super excited to welcome Radio Blitz, or just Radio B, to the Virtual Red Table. He is a friend, MC, songwriter, platform builder, fashion designer, and so much more. Right here from my hometown of Richmond, Virginia, Radio B is joining us because he is a rap artist like Fat Joe, and he's going to share why he calls Fat Joe a pioneer. So welcome to Let's Red Table That, Radio B.
Welcome.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. I can't wait to get into this one.
Super excited. Like, you had one of the best bios ever, Radio B.
Right.
You had to take a good long breath to get all that out. That's fantastic. Right. Right. I love that. This is a part of the show where we reveal which moments made us pause, rewind, and listen again. It's time for Wait, What?
Wait,
I love our Wait, What segment. It's one of my favorite segments in the show. We had a lot of good ones with Fat Joe. Fat Joe was bringing it to the doggone red table. Let's see. The first one, Fat Joe revealing his first nickname and the story behind how he got it.
Okay, Joey Crack. Where did that name come from? Joey Crack.
The way I got Joey Crack was before the drug crack. When the teacher would ask me to go to the chalkboard and write something, I always had like sweats like I'm wearing out and the crack of my ass would show. And so the girls would be like, oh, Joey Crack, Joey Crack. And it just stood my name. I had it. I made it my graffiti name and then it turned into my rap name.
Okay, Joey Crack had me rolling, y'all. Joey Crack.
I ain't see that coming.
Okay. I honestly would have never guessed that a kid would have been named Joey Crack unless he was selling crack, number one.
That's where I was going with, but I didn't realize.
And I think everybody thought that, right? That it was like, okay, yeah, it's because you're selling crack. But it was because they saw the asset crack. Hello?
Bless his heart. Bless his heart. Radio B, listen, you have a nickname, Radio B. How do nicknames really play a part in hip-hop?
Nicknames, it's a part of our culture, just especially Black folk culture in general. Right. Just we good for a nickname, and when they stick or they don't stick, but the ones that stick, it doesn't really matter why you got it.
It's there for life.
You got it.
You got it.
You know, so...
And don't you find that the nicknames are usually somebody making fun of?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially when it comes to family and family giving you a nickname. With him, I think that nickname had an evolved meaning over time, if you know anything about Joe. But it's interesting that he had enough confidence to actually take what nickname came from someone joking on him and owning it. That was dope.
I think he was still owning it because I don't know if y'all saw it, but he was still showing a little bit of the crack of his assets at the red tape.
I missed that. You said it was in there. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Go back. I was like, okay, Joey Crack, you still living up to this. I see. There you go.
Bless his heart. He's had a heck of a journey, though. I mean, he's told a lot of stories. This goes into our next Wait, What? His story about standing up to his dad and leaving home at 14 because of it.
One day, my father went to hit me. We was eating, and I caught it. Boom. And then he went to kick me. I grabbed his legs. I had him, like, hanging upside down. So I was a big 14. So I tell him in Spanish, you can't f*** with me no more. You can't f*** with me no more.
Would this kind of experience have you leaving home at 14? Or do you know anyone who's experienced that, Radio? That was kind of young for me to even think about. Bless his heart.
I can't say that that type of experience would have me leaving home. I can say that I've related to those types of experiences. And I can say that it can lead you to wanting to leave home. What I thought was interesting about that was he didn't leave home because he was forced to. You know what I mean? After that incident, it was more so like... the respect that he had for his father, you know what I'm saying? Even amidst the circumstances as they were, was just like, yo, I crossed the line. And I'm embarrassed and I'm shamed by that. And I just need to, you know, that go part. My way for it.
Yeah.
Right. This episode was super transparent. I don't think I expected the story that he was giving, but when he did say he ran out and after he confronted his father, I've experienced that with my son. They buck up at you because they're in the moment of survival or I got to stand up for myself, but they're still kids and they're hurt. So I appreciated him being that transparent so we could hear that.
Absolutely. When he decided to leave home at 14, he started getting exposed to a whole nother world of things. That's how he found out that the world is cold. Okay. And he ended up having the whole experience. And really, his nickname, Joey Crack, went from Crack of the Butt to Crack Something Else, right?
Right, like he cracked that glass across that guy's head.
It was a lot. And so it was a turning point for him. I think it was a really pivotal moment in his life when he left home because he had to fend for himself. He went from being a 14-year-old child to being in the position where he had to become a man.
Radio, why do you think, as far as young men who transition into music, use situations like confronting their parents or even the story he told about his heart turning cold? I often thought about those parts in different men's life. Like, how does that truly impact you? Do a lot of men have a moment where they're like, this is it. I'm no more nice guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the loss of innocence, I think, happens to humans across the board, right? Men, women. I think with men, because we have pride, we have ego, we're taught that we have to be able to be strong and defend ourselves and right. not to be weak. So it, right. it kind of puts you at these forks in the road where it's either I handle this way or I go another direction and go at my own. I think it's important to kind of consider what time period that was, and this is New York, and this is really the 80s, right? Like mm-hmm. the 80s. So people right. were growing up really fast. If you listen to any of the rap music from that time period, 80s, early 90s, you wouldn't believe Nas was like 18 right. years old, right?
Right?
Just the way that he's telling the stories and what he's seeing and the knowledge and wisdom that he's applying to this. A lot of people were raising themselves during that time frame. So for him to feel the need to say, okay, I'm going to leave and go out on my own wasn't really foreign.
It wasn't.
That part.
I'm in that generation. I'm in the same generation with Fat Joe. He was born in 70. I was born in 71. All of us Gen Xers, for the most part, had some moment of being feral, right? Where we truly were in a position where we were raising ourselves, where we had to fend for ourselves. Not that we left home at 14 like Fat Joe did, but that we were left to our own devices.
Right,
and so
right.
our level of maturity and survivalship, the loss of innocence, as you said, Radio B, was far more advanced and happened way earlier for us than generations mm-hmm. after,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And so I think mm-hmm. because 14 was different then. And when we think of 14 now, it's like, you're just a baby. In the 70s, I remember being 14, 15. I had responsibilities, right? I had stuff I had to do. And so 14 then and 14 now are very
And clearly
different.
He was a big guy, right? So that also plays a part psychologically for youth because you get treated already like you're older than what you are because you're bigger than everybody else, right?
Right.
So I'm sure all of that played a part. I'm sure in his mind, if I have the strength to disarm my father,
that part,
then I
yeah.
must be strong enough to go it alone.
Face the
if
world.
If I felt the need to tell my father what he could or couldn't do, even if that meant you can't put your hands on me, I'm of age to go and handle this by myself, right? Go it alone.
Right.
So
if I can handle dad, I can handle everything else. Another part of this wait what was
yes, let's
Fat
get into
Joe
it.
Graffitiing the red table after the credits. Oh my gosh. I absolutely love
legendary.
This.
What's going on?
He's gonna do graffiti
Ooh,
on the table.
He's gonna do graffiti on the table.
Yes.
He really did make history at the red table, like he said he would.
He did.
I want to know, do y'all think they're gonna use that table going forward?
I hope so. I hope so. I liked it.
I love it.
And he signed it.
I feel like they need to put some.
I mean.
Put some, what is it, poly or whatever?
Epoxy.
See, thank you.
Oh,
that's it.
I feel like they're gonna keep it as classic. They might have to buy another table. They got a few tables
True.
In the house. They got a bigger table,
on,
smaller
yeah.
table. So,
are we fanning out? Okay, Radio B, if you had a table that Fat Joe had tagged,
man, what?
I wouldn't do anything at it. I would.
You can't.
It have its own space.
Who else has Fat Joe's tags?
Okay, so now Radio B. What did you think about this
episode? I loved it. It was some stories I had heard because he's had like a short doc. So I'm very familiar with Fat Joe's story. I was born in the Bronx, so I have a respect and love from that standpoint. My parents, my family is from the Bronx. So
I did not know that.
So I was... So yeah, I got love for Fat Joe.
Yeah,
I love that. Why do you think he's a pioneer in the hip hop world? Between him, Terror Squad, Punk?
Yeah, it's just he was one of those few that kind of played the executive role and played the rap star role.
Right.
But also out of those guys, except for maybe Jay-Z and a few others, he could really rap. And I just think the way he approached a lot of things, just there's only one Fat Joe. And he always had a way of coming up with a hit still to this day. Like he can still put a hit together. And so
Super talented. Yeah.
It's the multifaceted talent for me. I mean, we saw his tagging skills. He was doing that back in school, but then of course transition to the music, and like you say, even that executive part of his life, right? Like, he's leaving a clear legacy in several ways. As a rap artist yourself, Radio B, what legacy do you hope to leave? And I'm just going to add this real quick before he answers. Radio has a whole mural in Richmond, Virginia, okay? So I need y'all to know the legacy is already being laid, and I love that for him, but what do you want to truly leave on?
Man, that's a layered question. I think just for the things that I do, and I guess my purpose and why I do it is I really want to enrich and empower artists from here. I'm really a hip hop head. So that's one of the reasons I rock with Fat Joe so heavy is because throughout all of the hits and everything like that, like he's a hip hop head to the core. You know what I'm saying? Core. Yeah. Like he still cares about people that can really rap and just making sure like that element of hip hop is represented. And I do it for those people. I do it for lyricists, the people that really have something to say, really put craft into their lyrics. So for me, it's giving people opportunities that were not laid out for me when I was in that position, but also giving the ability to help develop artists in a way that keeps them pure to what's been important in the essence of rap, whether that's battle rap, whether that's just that MC aspect. I just really want to keep that alive. And so a lot of the things that I do are focused in that respect.
We talked a little bit, Radio B, about what you do, but how do you do what you do? Give us an example of how you create the platform for the people that you're helping to lift as you climb.
So I have two platforms right now, which are Southpaw 3, but Southpaw Battle Coalition, that started first in about 2015, 2016, which is a battle league. If anyone's familiar with like Smack URL and seen those types of battles, that's the format in which Southpaw takes place. And we've been able to really set some trends and make some impacts in and out of the city. And that led to me being able to figure out and facilitate my next platform, which is RBA Rap Elite, which we just finished our fifth season. It's a monthly event where we have 30 MCs that compete in a cypher, which acts as a league, really. It's not like a one-off situation.
Okay.
We track statistics throughout the season, and we have an MVP, so we have a champion every month. So we want people to get their songs off and the music that they're working on. We want that to be presented properly. We want people to get their bars together and be focused on that and get that off. We want the producers to have a space to express themselves and to connect with the artists and hopefully build those relationships. So we do those things, but then we also have systems in place that make sure that the journalists and the podcasters and the people that cover from a media standpoint are plugged in.
So needed.
We know that Fat Joe had an opportunity to discover fresh new talent, one of them being DJ Khaled, right?
Yes.
Right.
That's phenomenal. And so you are in a position where you will discover your own DJ Khaled equipment.
Yeah, there's definitely the opportunity, and there's a bunch of incredibly talented artists that come through the platform and are doing some wonderful things. So I expect that there will be some great origin stories that will come from RVA Rap Elite. Khaled discovered an artist also from Richmond, Virginia, Red Rum. So,
and see, it just continues. Yeah. That's what I was talking about, lifting as you climb, right? You
that
see
part.
This that is cyclical. And in the way that Fat Joe discovered DJ Khaled, and then DJ Khaled discovered someone, Red Rum will discover someone. And so it continues to pour back into the community, which I love that, because Absolutely. It dispels the myth that we don't work in community, that we are not connected, and that we are siloed and selfish. And that is not true. And so I'm so grateful that you are demonstrating that not through one, but several platforms and organization structures that you have. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have more conversation with our fantastic guest, Radio B.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You talked about words and making sure they get their words out and that the lyrics are good. So now we got to talk about that. There's some lyricism that's been on the hot table and in the
Absolutely.
Hot seat. Come on, Kyra.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about it.
Let me tap into it. An aspect that has not been a positive about Fat Joe's legacy is his use of the N-word, which is, it's interesting. I can't wait to tap into this. He continues to defend it, and he's saying that he was raised with this term and he mm-hmm. means no disrespect. Mm-hmm. I really think intention is a big mm-hmm. factor. So let's talk about it. In a recent interview, he said, first of all, my project is 90%. I'll give you 80% black steel. So I'm Spanish. I knew I was a Latino, but the whole time I thought I was black anyway. So my mom lives there 40 years before I was born in this project that I'm born, blonde hair, green eyes. She brings me there. The first thing is they go, oh, look at this little N-word, Joey. He got green eyes. The minute I'm walking, the guys in the building like, yo, look at that little N-word Joe. Fat little Joe. That's all I knew my whole life, even before elementary. It's a part of our culture in some degrees. I understand his intention and mm-hmm. where he's going with it. Radio, what's your take on this?
Man.
How do you feel? I've been to a few events,
you know,
so.
I don't view many questions as being hot seat questions for me, but this one I kind of do. And maybe because I'm from New York and because I've known of Fat Joe and people like Fat Joe my whole life, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I've never mm-hmm. questioned it nor had anything to say about it before. So for me to act like it's a problem now would be a little hypocritical. I mean, I guess I could say, oh, we unlearn things. Yeah, I haven't unlearned using the term myself. So I get that he is not black, but man, I don't like Puerto Ricans,
the culture,
and
right?
Black, they like the same thing. They the same thing. I mean, people could,
they're black.
I know some people are gonna be mad at me for saying that, but this is the same thing. You know what I mean? We grew up in the same projects, dealt with the same racism, right. Deal with the same cops, get killed by the same cops,
right.
Being the same gangs. You know what I'm saying? The people that are doing the oppression make no distinction between
the
two.
They don't distinguish it. That's
that
right.
Part. It's been white and everyone else.
A lot of times you can't tell between a Puerto Rican kid and a light-skinned kid in that same project. So that's
right.
Why they didn't probably know if he was black or not.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? It's been plenty of like ambiguous looking kids.
Yeah.
I can't say it because some of them are Puerto Rican and black.
Yeah.
Some are, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not here to say, okay, let me, who your daddy, who your mommy.
Ha, right.
You know,
tell
right.
me who your
whoever's mad
are.
At me for that. Right. Whoever's
who you
mad
be
at
with.
Me. This is, yeah, exactly.
And I'm not even mad at you about it because I really think that there's an assumption amongst the culture and then there's a perception that's given to others. So we assume we're non-white. That's all we know. Like, we're going to go ahead and rap about what's going on day to day. What is what? But the perception is you could be perpetuating that narrative to the other whites.
No,
or anyone else
that.
Who listens.
Okay, so let me
that.
So now
that
let
part,
me get
that's
in
what
here.
I'm saying.
I know what
that's
you mean.
What
I know,
people
I know,
are
I know
assuming.
That's what people, I think that's people
that don't understand the culture.
Actually not in the environments.
That
yeah,
part.
They're not really in the environments.
They don't understand the culture.
They're far
so,
removed.
Radio B and Kyra. Here's my take on it, okay? And listening to and seeing his words, right? Knowing if you, mm-hmm. especially like you say, the Bronx, but it's any neighborhood, it's any hood. I'm going to use these words very distinguishly, okay? Long ago and far away, my father told me that nigger has no color, okay? Anybody can be a nigger by definition of the word. Now, when someone in the neighborhood, in the way that they're talking about little Joe, if we read this again and he said, mm-hmm. I'm born blonde hair, green eyes, she brings me here. The first thing they say is, oh, look at this little nigga Joey. He got green eyes. The it's minute I walk in, the guys in the building like, yo, look at that little nigga Joe. Little fat Joe. They're not saying, look at this little nigger. They saying, look at this little dude.
It's an adjective. It's a descriptive word. And intention is important.
Look at this guy. Look at this little man. They are using that word interchangeably. And for someone who I do not use the N-I-G-G-E-R.
And here's the thing.
We'll tell somebody, nigga, if you don't shut your ass up.
Let them know, Tracy. Let them know, Tracy.
See, to my family. Real talk. Real talk.
That listen, cultural competence is important.
But now, if you are Lily White, don't come and say that to me.
Yeah, I don't care where.
Cultural competence
right,
is important.
And I don't care what environment. So then the environment situation doesn't play.
Did I distinguish it?
Right. There's yes, something distinct. If you white, I can't give you that pass. I don't care where you grew up.
And here's the thing.
And you should know that. And if you white and you grew up in those environments,
cultural competence,
you should know that. You should have enough respect for the people you grew up around to know you're not supposed to be using that word.
Oh, absolutely.
It only stings when I hear other people singing it that are not in the culture. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you don't have sense enough to censor yourself.
Understood.
I mean, I know there's an argument there too
there
about, and I have I'm going through a.
What you going through, radio? How's it?
You know,
feel?
There's
is
a
it just growth or
kind of want to eliminate it.
I get
know
that.
How I addressed this in a poem some years back, but I was like, I'm in the same space. Yeah, I would like to. It hasn't happened yet. That is a conscious effort.
It is conscious. And if you're purposeful and mindful about that it part. And when you use it and where you use it and how you use it. And see, for me, I know the difference in what the intention is. The challenge is that there's so mm-hmm. few people now who sing songs with the word in it. They don't understand what they're really saying. And they think that they're just saying you're black.
That part. It's just a part of dialect for songs.
Right.
Yeah, my brother jokes often because he has to clean my music up.
Yeah.
And he says I use that word more than anybody.
Oh, wow. So, oh, wow.
Not more than anybody. I mean, even as I grow, like in my 20s, the word was every other word for me.
Really?
Every other word. As I'm older, I don't necessarily need it as often. I mean, but I understand it in a creative space. That's why I like Rapalito and why I come to those events.
It's a rhythm thing for me.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah,
it's not part of my regular vernacular. I can tell you that. But I know how to use it.
That's
not part of my regular vernacular because so few people understand what it means when they hear you say it. And I'm sure that people on podcasts will be like, oh, clutch the pearls. Did Tracy say it? Okay, have I said it? Yes, I've said
it. But listen, do I use it and is it in my complete playlist? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's all over the playlist.
But it's interesting to me that this is such a topic because like even Jay-Z and Oprah Winfrey had a huge debate about this, right? That it was literally one of their hot seat conversations where he was like, I'm not trying to change it. I won't ever stop using it. Again, New York native was like, it's part of who he is. And they said it. It was what he heard. It was like it all in his whole entire life before elementary school. So good luck, Radio B.
Yeah, I used to stand on it a lot harder in a sense of, I remember I've been in a podcast with some folks, other folks, and had to like that be the discussion. Me personally, this is what I would stand on before. And I'm not going to say I don't stand on it now. I just don't feel as strongly about it. That is a word that we've taken ownership of and you can't just use it. You know what I mean? Over there, you can't use it. And one of the things I said to them, I said, when we have ownership of more things, maybe we'll be able to release that word because it won't be like the only thing that we have ownership of that you don't have ownership of. Right. So
now let's talk a little bit about how the ownership of words and lyrics that are used in hip hop. There's this other longstanding debate, Radio B, about how hip hop lyrics are used to describe women, if they're complimentary or degrading. Now, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Mm-hmm. So now...
Who you calling the...
Come on, Queen Latifah. Now, how do you think lyricists can stay true to their experiences while also uplifting the people they're writing about?
I don't think the derogatory term for women needs to be used at all. I feel like that's something that, once again, now I may use the N-word in my music, but mm-hmm. I also use it in my regular language, but I don't use the B word in my regular language to refer to women. So therefore, I'm not going to use it in my music either. So I think people do it because they say it in real life. And I think they also do it because they find it to be entertaining. Like, they feel like that's what people like to hear.
That part.
I just don't think it's...
Four bars.
You know, I don't think it's necessary. I get that it's part of the culture. I just think it's disrespectful. So I don't need that word.
Well, I appreciate that. Because I'm going to tell you now, there's a line I draw. And I don't want to be called an itch with a B. I don't need to be called a garden tool. Mm-hmm. I don't need any of that in my life. I don't need to sing about it. I don't want
to
hear it.
I grew up listening to Snoop, though, but it didn't influence me. So, I mean, I've sang along to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you listen to Doggy Style, that's all it was back then. It was like super crazy. Mm-hmm. So I don't even think people use the H word too much anymore. I don't hear that in music as much.
Okay,
like,
good.
The word, not like how it was, right?
Oh, yeah, because back in the day.
I hear more specific actions, to be honest.
What?
I'm gonna be honest. I feel like they have just... Yeah, I feel like I start hearing more. Your girl gone.
Right.
It's a whole lot of that. Like, it's gone to another.
Oh, okay, I got you. Because I was going to say, Houdini wrote a whole song about it. You up, you know you up. You rock three different after every show. Okay?
Yeah, right. But see, now, as I'm getting older, I have a different perspective. I actually saw a video before we came on about Lil Scrappy, and he was talking to his mom about how he was raised in a whorehouse. And I actually didn't even know about this part of his life, but he saw some negative things. And for the first time, I realized, again, got those rose-colored glasses on, Tracy. For the first time, I realized some of the things that rap artists may go through truly do impact their music in the way. I mean, I didn't think that before. What I'm saying is, to Radio B's point earlier, I thought some people were really just saying,
oh, you thought they were just making up stuff.
Just wanted the dollar. I mean, and there actually are people who do just make up stuff, but I'm realizing more that it's really, truly a lot of different experiences.
You mentioned Snoop Dogg earlier, Radio B. The whole idea that what they call gangster rap, that was them talking about what they had experienced in their life.
Definitely get it. Shout out to NWA. I mean, just, you know.
We had not heard that, right? They were literally just talking about what was going on in their day.
I'm a private school kid. Like, growing up private school kid, listening to rap, I'm just excited about the music and the culture and following my brother.
But see, here's the issue. The problem didn't start while you were listening to it. It was when your white counterparts started listening to it. It became a problem. That's when Tipper Gore went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and all these censors had to come into play, right? See, it wasn't a problem if they were influencing you and your kin and your neighborhood negatively to say, okay, we want to emulate what we hear.
I do remember
it was
that.
When Buffy and Tipper heard it.
Right. And Tiny Tim too. Radio, do you think hip hop artists need to experience types of traumas and life and death situations like Fat Joe overcame to write powerful lyrics? I feel like I know the answer to this, but how do you feel?
I think everybody deals with trauma. Not nearly at the same level. Not nearly.
That's key.
Yeah, not nearly to the same extent or frequency. However, enough to express themselves in a way that conveys emotion. I think it's a matter of being able to tap in with those emotions and figure out how to communicate and convey them in a powerful way. So there's just all sorts of perspectives in life and in the world that need to be told that millions of people resonate with. So I don't think that you have to go through the extent of Joey Crack's life in order to be able to tell a powerful story.
Right.
You just have to be able to understand your story enough to convey it in a way that people can feel it.
I love that.
Can you also have a vivid enough imagination and still be authentic in the storytelling, that you don't have to have lived it in order for it to be authentic.
There's plenty of people who do that.
That is accurate.
But a lot of times they're called out, right? They're called out. We've seen that.
Because it wasn't true.
Yeah.
It's true for someone.
Many times they are, and many times they aren't. Most times they are.
We're real PC Switzerland right there at Radio B. You're like, some are, some aren't.
I feel like radio sees a lot of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying there's plenty of people that are telling other people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that are on a block but ain't in the block.
Okay, so they see it, but they're around it, but they're not in it. But right. That's okay, so even in that regard.
And that's fine.
Okay.
As long as they're not saying, I shot this person, I did that, then that's exactly
that part. Tell your truth.
Because watching it, because you can get PTSD from watching it.
Absolutely.
Period.
You know what I mean? So that's still way closer than the person that's telling that story from the suburbs. There's people from the suburbs telling them same stories that they wasn't even in the window for. So
okay, so that's what I'm talking about. If someone from the suburbs is telling the story and making it a first-person experience, is it inauthentic for them to share that if it's something they envisioned or created?
It is inauthentic.
Hold on.
I mean, it's inauthentic, but it's entertainment, and it's the entertainment business. For all intents and purposes, have at it. Just hip-hop is a little different, though. See, in this generation, it's like, why does everybody care if somebody helped write or if somebody's telling a fake story or this, that, and the other? Because they're not understanding that hip-hop was built off of the purity of these experiences.
Right.
So there's a real-life street element to hip-hop, even when it's not violent.
Right.
Like, it's about the people. So it was created by poor kids, right?
That
needed a voice, right? That was the purpose of hip-hop, kids that could not afford instruments, creating music from turntables and a microphone, right? So plugging into the light poles at the park and not being able to go into the clubs because how they dance, how they dress. You couldn't get into clubs because they was doing a disco, they was dressed up. So, like, where could you go to party? So you go into the rec halls and you go into the parks to party because that's the place that you could come as you are, dance how you want to dance.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? So it's that. I think people forget that. You know what I mean?
But do you have to have that in order to be authentic now?
In order to be successful, no. In order to be authentic, I'm not saying that you have to be poor, but you just got to tell your story.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I was going to say.
Like, it's respect the origins at least. I think if you use those origins as pillars to your creativity, then you'll be authentic because you'll have enough respect for it that you're not just pretending.
So then what's your message, Radio B? Because we're saying a lot about this, and I think that there's an opportunity here for you to communicate a message that you'd like to convey to the people outside of your immediate reach. What do you say to an artist that's up and coming that is not really sure? If they don't have the quote unquote poor kid or PTSD trauma neighborhood, what do you say?
You don't need that. You don't need that. You just need to tell your story. Just really get to know yourself. And not only just your story, but your style, how you present it. Don't copy anybody else's style. You know what I mean? This generation is way too comfortable with sharing their sauce. Like, they're way too comfortable with sounding like the next guy. To the point where nobody even questions that anymore. You know what I mean?
So what do you say to that?
Or even trying.
Stop.
Stop. I love it. No, I love that, though. I mean, because the reality is we are evolving as a culture. So everyone's not as poor as we were back in the day, right? But, like, we also have our troubles and struggles.
Tell your story.
I love
that. I said, there's millions of people that can relate to any of that. That's hip-hop, right? Like, in hip-hop, don't be a biter. That's one of the main rules of hip-hop, always has been. Like, you used to could get beat up for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, being a biter. But, like, being a biter now is not, that word doesn't even get circulated anymore. Like, right. You can literally just do whatever. Like, this guy made a song like that. The other big star in the game could come out and make a song using his flow, same type of words, same beat and everything, and everybody will still ride with that. It'll be like, oh yeah, this is good too. And it's like, wait.
You think social media contributes to that?
Yeah, social media does contribute to that, because what it is like, at the very least, even if you didn't have the integrity to be unique in your own style, at least you had the style of where you were indigenous to, because that's what you heard around you.
Right.
Now, right. Because of the internet, it's like everybody from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So there is no, oh, this is the sound that comes from New York, or this is the sound that comes from the West Coast, or this is the sound that comes from the South. Like, everybody's saying
it. You know it when you hear it.
Nah, like, that everybody part. Making...
People from New York are just as influenced by Atlanta.
Yeah, everybody doing drill, or everybody doing this or that. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's just a big
melting pot. You got to find your own heartbeat, though. I feel that. Even in the middle of the melting pot.
I don't even like to call it a melting pot. I just feel everybody's hands in the pot. Like, that's it's just a pot.
It's and a grab bag just, now.
Yeah, it's a grab bag. That's what it is. A grab bag.
Yeah.
This has been a heck of an episode.
What you talking about? Oh, my gosh.
And I wish we didn't have to end it, but we got to go.
Radio B, I've enjoyed talking to you so much.
You. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all. Yes. Thank you for making me feel successful.
Absolutely.
Yes. We want to know how you're feeling about this new season of Red Table Talk. We're open to talk about any and everything with you. So please send in your questions at letsredtablethat@redtabletalk.com. Or don't forget, you can also leave us a voicemail at SpeakPipe. Don't you want to hear your voice on this amazing podcast? Visit speakpipe.com/letsredtablethat.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. We are so happy to have you with us. And make sure you subscribe on iHeartRadio app, and please rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Y'all, rate us a 5, okay? We want 5s. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week for another episode of Let's Red Table That. Special thanks to executive producers Jada Pinkett Smith,
Fallon Jethro,
and Ellen Rakuten.
Thank you to our producer, Kyla Kineru,
and our associate producer, Yolanda Chow.
And finally, thanks to our sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar. Hey, let's red table that.
Red table that.
Hey.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.